I think we might need to talk about that Kelly's husband might be unfamiliar with the Challenger explosion. I'm just kicking back. I'll wait here for you to figure out just what life is to you now. Some of the guys talk to Bachelor. I'm your host, Drew Baker. With me this week, once again, it's one Mr. Grantholomew Pitt.
Ooh, the full name.
Grant, how are you this weekend?
No week. One calls
oh
me
my
Grantholomew.
God, it's not even weekend. I'm so used to us taping on like a Saturday or Sunday. We're actually taping on a Thursday this week.
Yeah, we're early. Only 3 days after the show.
I know. By our standards, we're early, and that means only 3 full days after the show had taped.
Progress.
Yeah, you know, we're getting better. Grant, what's up? How's it going?
It's going fantastic. I was curious what tone we would start with, and it started off a little depressing and then got a little lighthearted, then you busted out the Grantholomew. I don't know where we're at right now.
Yeah, you know, I like to keep them guessing. I like to mix my moods, mix my pitches. I like to be in my bag a little bit. Yeah, it's been a week. I don't know that it's been like a, you know, particularly tough or even fun week. This week's just happened. Grant, what's the weather been like in Schaumburg? Not that I love talking about the weather more than anything, but
I'll give you one guess.
Has it been really cold?
It's fucking cold.
Yeah. So Athens has been, I think Athens has been right on the edge of like that cold snap that's gone straight up the middle of the country and like the warm front that's been on the East Coast, because we've had nothing but just like super garbage in like dreary rain for like 2 full weeks, and I've hated it.
That sounds very appropriate for The Bachelor.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good amount of weather to talk about a show that you hate more than you are capable of putting into words right now.
But we're going to use approximately 45 minutes to do so.
But we're going to try and do words anyway. All right, Grant, let's get into it. We're going to take the format from not this past week, but a few weeks ago, where we're just going to talk about the things we actually cared about. And this week that was very little, but Grant, what was your first point that you wanted to talk about this week?
It is actually chronological, and it's Heather.
Heather, let's talk about Heather. So we got a bit into Heather's character this past week. So Heather is a previous Bachelor contestant. She was on Colton's season. And Heather appears because Hannah Brown thinks that Heather and Matt were made for each other, but rather than introduce them like normal human beings, which Heather even owns up to for a little bit in like a rare moment of lucidity and self-awareness, she was like, would I have liked to meet Matt in person in any of the numerous times I could have done so? Absolutely. But am I here now? I sure am.
But that's showbiz, baby.
That's just how we do it in the Bachelor Nation. So for me, Heather's moments were like kind of like marked by like a little bit of sympathy, because all the women did just like go full crazy, as they have been one to do this entire season, where they're like, oh, new girl, we're going to eat her alive. But at the other time, like nothing about what Heather has done or the reason she is here have made any sense whatsoever. So I don't know how to feel.
Yeah. I love there was just so much like fanfare to do with Heather, like showing up out of the blue. Obviously, like they hyped it up for like 4 episodes in a row. They're like, but everything will change. And she comes in, meets Matt, and within, I think, like, in the real lifetime, it probably less than a half hour of time, she shows up and gets sent home like that. It's hilarious.
She would have had to spend, I mean, I don't know how tightly of COVID protocol this season is like following versus how much time she might have spent in like, you know, a production suite or whatever prior to joining the show. But she had to have spent more time locked in a room in quarantine than she got to spend in actual real world minutes on the like live set of the show, which when you think about it, is kind of funny.
Oh, it's super funny. It's like, and the thing that I can't tell is, did they just straight up pay her to do this, or did she do this on her own volition? Because one, I could almost like, actually not almost, like one I could totally reason with, like if she was paid and like the producers said, hey, you should do this and we'll pay you if you do it. And she's like, well, shit, I'm bored. Like I'm quarantining wherever. She probably wasn't. Might as well quarantine on set. And the other one terrifies me. The other option is that she straight up refused to talk to this man for the, what, like at least year.
Probably at least two years. Because I feel like Colton's season, I'm pretty sure, happened while I was still an undergrad. Yeah, I think Colton's season might have been like 2016 or 2017.
So they've definitely shared this mutual friend for a number of years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they're like, fuck, I gotta meet him right now. Like, I hope it was a producer inspired bit and not genuine, because if it was genuine, there's a lot to unpack there that I'm
I don't know that they get paid, so I'm sure it was some mix of like, I'm gonna get money for like, this is to reinvigorate my Instagram influencer career, or
maybe there is, I don't know.
I feel like this show is kind of worn out. It's giving it any benefit of the doubt that anyone who joins the season halfway through is there for sincere reasons. But
well, hold on a second. Are we considering the first group of new girls in this
season?
No,
because I'm sure we're going to talk about those later, at least, you know, a few of them. But no, I think it's different between like, you were part of this season's casting, and I don't know if there's been like a legit reason why for both The Bachelor and The Bachelorette they introduced like exactly five people halfway through the season, whether those were just like, you know, people who had different like quarantine schedules, or maybe those were people who were part of the original casting and then they arrived and they were symptomatic or something. I feel like that's the most like logical reason I can come up with, and I have no basis to like believe any of that. That's just pure speculation.
No, it's definitely just content and drama they're trying to stir up.
Yeah.
I just love the idea of they're like, oh, well, this show is about finding true love, but you only have 10 weeks. But if we're going to add more people, 5 weeks. So what that says is you could spend 5 weeks of doing nothing but getting to know women, and then be introduced to a new one and immediately go, ooh, shiny, and just go chase that one.
Well, and so we saw this.
It kind of disproves like the validity of the entire process. It's like, what's this? If that could happen 5 weeks, what about 10 weeks where at the end of the process, you, I think propose, I'd never actually finish a full season of the show, but maybe right after that, when you get back to the real world, you meet another girl and you're like, ooh, shiny, never mind.
Well, and that's what, like, as brutal as some of the dismissals and walk-offs and send-homes that Matt has had this season, at least he has been, like, philosophically consistent. Like, we just saw him send Katie home last week because he felt like he was not as far along with Katie in the journey as he was with some of the other women in the cast. So, for him to have said, for Heather, just because Heather thinks that like, oh, Hannah has said so many great things about you, so I knew I had to be here. If he had indulged that and said, okay, well, yeah, absolutely, let's see where this goes, it would have been like, wait, what the hell? Like, Katie's been here the whole time. You've had dates with Katie. You've had actual conversations with Katie. Like, excuse me.
That would have actually been really funny because I would have loved to see him try to talk his way out of this one.
But fortunately, we didn't have to witness that.
And now we can talk about my favorite scene from the entire episode.
Let's do it.
The brutal, like, oh, actually, if we're going to go chronological, I want to talk about one other thing real quick. And it was, holy shit, these women are savages. Like, as soon as they meet,
none of these women have been,
like, the first thing out their mouth is, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah,
kid straight up calls her a bitch to her face within 1 minute of meeting her.
None of these women have been particularly nice for even a few minutes on this show. Yeah,
and I love how there was all that bullshit a couple weeks ago about, like, oh, we did it. We finally, like, snuffed out all the mean girls. We sent them all home. Let's just test to make sure the people left are real nice. And they failed the test.
And immediately toxic.
Or in terms of content, they passed the test. That's some good content.
That's a spicy content. All right, Grant, what was the next point in the show?
No, I gotta let that one sit for a second. It would have been kind of good, but your delivery was so flat.
This is the part of the show where I reveal that I'm currently playing NCAA 14 on my current monitor, but I feel like it's made me looser in that I'm umming and awing less because my brain has something else to think about so that it's on autopilot talking about The Bachelor. So,
I should have known better than to expect your full attention.
I'm sorry, Grant. You are the only one who has been paying full attention because I am playing a video game. Our producer in the booth is playing a video game / on TikTok. And you are the one that is left this week to talk entirely about The Bachelor.
I hate this show. I hate it so much.
No man is an island, but Grant has to talk about the entirety of the show on his own.
What a great segue. Our next topic is the boys watch Love Island.
No, because then we would have to actually watch something that I might care about.
When the Love Island show really takes off, this will be our defining moment.
That'll be the lead-in. All right, Grant, you want to talk about Abigail next, I believe?
Oh, no, now I can talk about my favorite scene, which is not only...
the driving?
Not only did Heather get walked out, she had to fucking drive herself out of the...
Oh, yeah, in her little rented minivan.
Oh, my God. Because it's already savage enough to have the Bachelor, like, walk out a girl, and they get in the limo and drive off. He, like, walked her out, and she gets in the driver's seat, puts on a seatbelt, turns on the car, drives off.
And her little freaking, like...
How does that make her feel that, like, she had to, like, pull up, and they're like, no, 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 just leave the car here. We're not going to valet it. You'll be back soon.
You'll be back. I don't even think, like, the lights from the car hadn't even turned on off yet, I don't think. She hadn't been there that long.
Fuck, maybe they ran it left it running. I wasn't paying attention.
Just leave the keys in the engine. I won't be here very long.
Just gotta go get some women real fucking fired up and then leave.
Oh my God. Bunch of pack of hyenas and this crazy women on this crazy show.
I guess it doesn't have to be chronological because I don't remember what the order.
No, there's literally there are no police, no gods, no masters, no producers to tell us what to talk about.
God is dead, and Chris Harrison killed him. Let's not even get into stuff that happened outside of this episode. But there was big Bachelor stuff that went down. I guess Abigail is what we'll talk about next. Poor Abigail.
Let's talk about her. Yeah, poor Abigail gets sent home in the middle of a group date. Like, not even at the end.
It was just extra, like... Because I think a couple girls did that thing where they're like, well... I just laid it all out on the line, and he still accepted me. And fucking Abigail, who's like a sweetheart, she's like, well, let me lay it all out on the line too. And she was just like, straight up, she's like, I need to know right now if you feel serious about this. And he goes, I'm glad you asked. No, I don't. Oh my fucking God.
And like, I mean, I know we're talking about Abigail, but had a kind of similar, I parallel that to Kit, who Kit had like laid out, here's where I am. Like, here's everything I hold value. Here's all the things that you have to wait. Which, like, Kit was like, I'm not going to start a family until I'm 26. And I think Kit's, like, 24, so,
she's
like...
She's 21.
Oh, okay. I had that way off then. That's wild. What's she doing? Why is she on the show? Go talk to a man. Why is anyone under the age of 24 on the show? Like, just go make eye contact with someone in a bar.
Publicity.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's to find true love. Definitely that one. But yeah, Kit was like, listen here, Matt. Even if we get married, she made it sound like she would put the marriage on hold and just stay engaged for a long time, too. But yeah. She's like, even if we get together, like, I'm not going to do, like, anything. Like, you're going to have to change. I'm going to change my life to fit with yours. You're going to have to change everything about your life to fit with mine. And he was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's
just like, yeah, sure, whatever.
I don't think there's particularly wrong with or anything wrong with any of that, but it was, yeah, kind of wild that she was like making very reasonable demands and things that would be quote unquote, not even quote unquote normal, just normal, because like normally people don't get engaged in the span of like 3 weeks. But
yeah, I guess it's not that unreasonable of a conversation to have someone you might get engaged to. It just right. does feel too soon in the relationship, but I forget that these relationships are put on like hyperspeed.
That's like normally people would date over the course of like months, if not years, and talk about like, yeah, here's how I see our future. But it was drummed up to be this like huge nerve-wracking conversation, which it usually is in real life. I mean, that's like those are serious things to talk about, but it exactly seems out of place when you're having that conversation after, you know, 2 weeks of knowing this person.
Yeah.
But mostly
I wanted to talk about the Kit, like you said, the Kit thing, to juxtapose it with the Abigail thing.
Yeah.
Because Abigail was just like, she wasn't even like, hey, are you prepared to give up everything to let me follow my dreams? She was just straight up like, do you like me?
Rose for me? No.
Is it for me? And yes, we know this is purely audio, but I'm doing the finger touching thing. You know, the one.
He's making the little face too.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, no, it was a particularly bloody week in terms of rejection and people getting sent home and did we not have two rose ceremonies this week, or did we only have the one at the end?
I'm looking up now.
I feel like a lot of women just got sent home in like.
No, it definitely felt like it was like machine gun, like, you're going home, you're going home, you're going home, you're going home.
Yeah.
Because it started with, and I'm not remembering this, I'm reading this. It started with
Serenity
and Chelsea. Going
rat tat 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 tat. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess that technically happened after Heather. I don't know. And I frankly don't give a flying fuck. So they went home. And then Abigail went home. And Abigail had like the most, it was just the most like depressing quotable. And I'm trying to find it in here. But if I can't, it was something along the lines of, people always figure out what they want in like a long-term partner when they're with me, but they also find out that it's not me. I'm like, fucking brutal.
Yeesh.
Holy shit. After that, I had to go listen to Mom Jeans for an hour just to cool down.
I guide others to a treasure I cannot possess myself.
Yeah, pretty much. Ugh. But so that was pretty brutal. And the rest of the episode, I don't give a shit about. Except for the one-on-one date with Jacenia. Okay.
Yeah.
I was right. I don't know half of their names because they really don't leave an impression on me.
Yeah, talk about some Vroom Vrooms.
Yeah, I just obviously have to bring it up as the resident car guy, and I actually know the guy that they brought in as the expert.
Okay, so you told us this in the chat. Do you know him personally, or you know of him?
Like, my dad knows him personally. I, like, okay. Worked in the same garage as him for a bit, but we never, like, talk a lot. But, like, yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. I didn't want to spoil this content in the text thread so that we would not have talked about it in the show. But that's neat.
No, I did, like, an internship, in air quotes, which worked out of the exact same garage as Tony Angelo's show Hot Rod Garage. Tony Angelo was the professional that they brought in to teach him how to drift. He used to be a drift racer, and now he's just like a not just, but he's like a mechanic slash host of a couple of car shows, which is like, when I'm not watching The Bachelor, that's what I'm watching, is I'm watching people build cars.
My other TV show is YouTube videos of people restoring old muscle cars.
That's exactly the case, and it brings me much more pleasure than The Bachelor. But it was just an insane crossover, which I saw like ahead of time. I saw him post on Instagram. He's like, "Hey, look, I was on this week's episode of The Bachelor," and I was like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, that was another like
pulling, I know that guy.
Pulling back the curtain of where we're at in this season, you sent that to us, I believe, at like 9 p.m. on Monday night, and you were like, "Wait, what the hell? Was this guy actually on? Is anyone watching?" And not one of us who were involved in the production of the show said yes.
Yeah, we all watched. Like, I watched Tuesday. When did you?
I watched Tuesday as well.
So we're a day behind in watching. So technically, we're only 2 days behind in recording. We're killing.
Yeah,
it.
Based
this is
on
great.
The way that we watch it, you know. Silver lining, Grant. It's good. Shit. We need that.
At this rate, we might even finish this season before the next one starts.
We need to keep putting that kind of positive energy out into the world.
But yeah, I saw Tony's post,
which is great because we're about to talk about a woman getting like her heart getting smashed into a million pieces with a tiny hammer.
Yeah, a large hammer.
Yeah, yeah, Matt's pretty big.
But yeah, it's kind of crazy, like how much they put into the production of the show. Because on Instagram, Tony had posted, he's like, "Look, I was on The Bachelor. I spent about 8 hours teaching them how to drive and shit, and they only used like 5 minutes of footage."
5 real-world minutes, not even 5 show minutes.
Yeah, exactly. That's including the commercial break. But yeah, that was kind of a weird crossover to see. I was like, "Hey, I know who that guy is." And like, he used to work with my dad, so my dad knows him too. I told my dad, he was like, "No fucking way."
That's dope. I knew, obviously we talked about like Sonny being on this week's season, or this year's season, but have not known too many people involved in the external production.
This is a great season for how many degrees removed from The Bachelor are you?
It's like, what is it, the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but we're all in like, yeah. So I think I know Sonny. I know her. I have talked to her before, so I guess I could be theoretically 1 degree away from her. I'm going to safely say I'm 2 degrees away with her because I think the better relationship I had was I worked with her brother. And you are 2 degrees away from this person as well. So we are tied, Grant, with like 3 weeks to go in the season.
Until we become 1 degree when Evan gets on.
That is true. Okay, Grant, we kind of breezed through this week's episode. Is there anything major we want to talk about? I mean, like, we're going into hometowns next week. It's Rachel, Michelle, and Bree. There's definitely one more.
Jacenia stayed, right?
No, I thought Jacenia got sent home. Yeah, Jacenia definitely got sent home.
Oh, fuck. She got sent home, too. Oh, dude. That's why this episode was so brutal. Her and Abigail got sent home on dates.
Yeah, and then Piper. I know Piper got sent home at the final rose ceremony. Who the hell was left?
Free
Michelle,
Michelle.
Michelle and Brie got the roses. Rachel already had hers. Who was the other one?
Oh my God, there's got to be one more.
Kit eliminated herself. Yes, Grant, there does have to be one more.
Oh, and
Correct.
Kit left. That's right. Dude, I shit you not. As soon as the car stuff ended, I was like, okay, cool. And I just played on my phone while the episode was going on in the background. I could not care less
Rachel
about most of these people.
got the group date because they had that weird, like, Aloe Black was the first, like, musical person in all these seasons that I recognized doing, like, the solo concert. And for Christ's sake, who the living fuck was the other person that got a rose?
Dude, I'm almost ready to say, hold on. Piper, Michelle, Rachel, Bree, Kit, Abigail. Piper's
No,
gone,
they would have
Kit's
gotten the
gone,
rose
Abigail.
before that because Rachel got the rose at the thing. Oh my God, this is gonna drive me
Serena
insane.
P?
Hometowns.
Serena P went, oh, that was another point that I guess we probably should talk about. Serena P and him doing the tantric
Yeah,
yoga.
that sucked. Was
I
Serena
was
P the
watching
other one?
that. Yeah, I think she stayed after that. I'm
She's
surprised she
gonna get a
stayed after
rose.
that.
Serena C got jettisoned in the space.
Yeah, Serena P got a rose. So that's who we were missing.
Okay, so that's
But
who our
dude, that
final
shit
four is.
was I remember watching that and I was watching it and I'm like, I'm uncomfortable watching this. And then it cuts to the what do you call those things? Confessionals.
Yeah.
Cuts to a confessional of Serena P going, "Yeah, I was very uncomfortable. I
Yeah,
did not like
she's like,
that."
I hated every minute of that actually, and did not
Yeah.
enjoy it for even for a little
And
bit at the
I
beginning.
love Matt's response is he's like, "I love that you hated that and told me that you hated
Yeah.
that. That's
I'm glad
great."
you were honest with me about this thing that I enjoyed and you did not.
Yeah. I'm like, "I don't know, man. I don't think you get this." But yeah, that's who we're missing. She got a rose. Yeah, that's fucking I can't believe I forgot about him just throwing Abigail and Jesenia into the trash.
Yeah.
And then Kit saying, "Yeet into the trash."
Yeah, Kit hopped in
Yeet.
there herself. Which, like, for particularly noble reasons, I think Kit said herself that she recognized that there were other people who felt more strongly about Matt being their future husband than she felt for him. So it was like, well, what? I don't need to still be here for, like, my sake. But yeah, it was I don't know. It was an interesting week in that it was not interesting, particularly interesting at all.
Yeah. This was just a lot of bullshit this week. It might be a short episode. I don't know. We've been only recording for maybe like 45 minutes, and
Not
some of
even.
that was dicking around
I think
before the actual
we've
episode.
been recording for
Oh, we've
37
been on Skype for
actual
that long.
minutes. Yeah, we've been recording for 37 minutes, and at least like 6 or 7 minutes of that was us just like hanging out at the beginning.
Well, do you want some filler? I could read some of my draft tweets.
No, I think it's fine. Let's talk about hometowns and not like particularly what we think hometowns are going to be, but let's talk about who,
The idea of hometowns, the concept of
not
home.
even because like this is our second COVID thing. It's like we can't even really speculate as to what they're gonna look like they're gonna fly the family into the Nemecolon. They're gonna be there in like their little junior suites and talk about dumb bullshit that's like, oh, they're gonna like set up a carnival game to like symbolize someone's like hometown fair, like they did on The Bachelor. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine, Grant. They're gonna be okay.
I think we did for last hometowns. We talked about like what would like your hometown date be if like you took some girl back to Lakeland, Florida who'd never been there before.
Yeah,
You
I
know what's
mean.
even funnier? If you had to bring a taste of Lakeland to somewhere else,
Oh, that's
what
a
would
good.
you do?
No, that's actually. I like this, Grant. This is a good game to play. Way to salvage the episode.
Yeah, the producer texted us that we need more content, so I just whipped it up on the fly.
I think bringing someone to Lake or bringing Lakeland to someone, I mean, there would still be pub subs. You'd still have to bring in the pub subs. Like, I think that's a requirement. And then I think we would also bring a section of the January 6th Capitol riots into the building and just like, you know, but only we throw some money at it and then we pretend that we're not at all involved in the actual.
Have you heard of any specific people? Obviously, don't say names. I mean, or do. Fuck it. I don't care. Specific people that are from Lakeland that got arrested. Am I breaking?
I thought you were aware of this joke. No, one of the Publix heiresses donated like $300,000 to the Stop the Steal.
Oh, I mean, I knew that the Publix ownership was probably on par with.
But that's the thing. Ownership. Like, people keep sending this to me. First of all, everyone, yes, I've seen the news, and like, I don't mean to be like, you know, fully defend a brand. Like, there's no ethical consumption under capitalism, but. The Publix heiress in question is not the one who is affiliated with the company. Like, they all worked for the company as a children, but there's only one of George Jenkins' daughter that was ever, like, formally affiliated with, like, the corporate leadership, and she's not even on the board anymore. So, I've seen the news. I'm not going to stop eating pub subs. I'm sorry. It's not happening. So, quit asking.
Sure, you're a fucking class traitor.
That's been known, Grant. Anyway.
That being said, fuck Chick-fil-A, though.
Yeah, we don't eat there. No, I mean, that, honest to God, like, some kind of, like, make-your-own-pub-sub deli thing would That would be about as good as some of the other ones we've seen. Like, I don't know why I'm trying to think of, like, something major that would be as good.
Would be actually really good because, and I promise that this wasn't an intentional setup, but 2 weeks ago, I did make my own pub sub. Like, because I just wanted one really bad. I know, but I'm telling the beautiful listeners out there that don't get text about all my meals that I eat. So, yeah, that was actually a fun experience. So, yeah, I guess you could do make your own chicken tender pub sub. And if you say, oh, but Grant, I'd actually rather have just a regular Italian sub, you're a fucking idiot. Go to Publix, you're getting a goddamn chicken tender pub sub. I don't care what you're hungry for. That's what you're eating.
That's... Sorry. This just in from our producer, Corey. Corey says that in order to bring Pleasant Valley Poughkeepsie to... the women to this hypothetical bachelorette, he would bring a MAGA flag, a dairy cow, and that pedo that lives at the town motel. I probably should have proved this before reading it out loud, but that's how we roll here at Some of the Guys Talk the Bachelor. All right, Grant, what does bringing a taste of Simi Valley look to the show? Simi Valley.
Ugh. Well, there's a lot to choose from. I could bring some nuclear radiation from the meltdown that Rocketdyne had.
Hell yeah.
They just quietly, they're like, let's not talk about it. That never happened. That's the far east side of Simi. Or I could go to the far west side of Simi and break off a piece of the Berlin Wall on display.
off a piece of that Berlin Wall.
That's on display at Ronald Reagan's library. I could also just bring a bunch of shit about Ronald Reagan, who I was definitely like indoctrinated into loving as a child.
Yeah.
Growing up, ten minutes from his grave.
It's good that him and Rush Limbaugh were reunited this week. Good.
Yeah, it's good to see old friends back to each other again.
I'm sure wherever they are, it's quite warm.
Yeah. I hope they have like a nice tropical drink, you know, maybe a pineapple is involved somehow.
Great, you want to hear my Rush Limbaugh impersonation?
Please give me your Rush Limbaugh impersonation. Hey, and everyone at home, make sure to take this out of context however you can.
All right, hang on, I gotta compose myself. that? All right. That
Jesus was... Christ.
That was my.
Oh.
That was my.
I don't know. Actually, that was a little bit off. It didn't seem racist, homophobic, or misogynistic enough for my taste.
Because we're not above flat out stealing other people's content. I just the joke that Rush
no,
Limbaugh.
No, don't say it. You're gonna steal the joke.
Rush Limbaugh watched Tom Brady beat Pat Mahomes and knew he could finally rest.
Oh.
Oh, is nothing sick.
Rush Limbaugh used to have a bit where he would read off the names of AIDS victims and then play celebratory music. So I'm going to read off the name of pieces of shit that died this week. And Corey, play some celebratory music. Rush Limbaugh.
All right. We can try and tie it back into The Bachelor a little
bit. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of racism, Chris Harrison is no longer with the show.
Oh man.
Couldn't have happened to a nicer person. Yeah, so Chris Harrison, as a
and
result.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is what we in the biz call a motherfucking segue.
Chris Harrison, as a result of his, really, really brave stance calling out the woke police in 2021 for holding a woman accountable for her actions 3 years ago.
Years ago was a long time. Just think of the stuff we were doing 3 years ago.
I, for one, was,
what weren't we doing 3 years ago?
Yeah,
Let
he who has never had an edgy take in the group chat cast the first stone, but I'm pretty confident I've never posed in plantation style dress. So I at least have that going for me, and I'm sure Corey is going to pull out some very problematic receipt and make me aware of my past cringe. Chris Harrison stepping aside for the production of this season. Obviously, most of the season has already been taped, but he will not be part of the women's tell-all or after the final rose. So, I don't know.
I can't wait to make his triumphant return. He's essentially, play a Need for Speed when you finally get away from the cops. So you just go hide behind a garage for 30 seconds and the cops forget about you.
Yeah.
And then you go back to terrorizing the streets.
100%.
I feel like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah,
he's just going to go into cool down mode for a bit. Not really have any come to Jesus moments. Be like, hey, did everyone forget? Okay, and we're back. Just can't like even... it's always gone and always will go. No accountability.
So has it been written, so shall it be. But I don't know. F's in the chat for our boy Chris Harrison. Couldn't have happened to a nicer person.
Truly is. Oh my god. After I just had a realization that he is essentially Britta from Community, because last season he stood up for the whole Yosef thing. And he's like, hey, I'm okay with racism, but I draw the line at misogyny.
As misogyny.
Wait, you're okay with racism?
You can excuse racism.
Chris Harrison just did that in reverse. Yeah. He's like, here, let me take a strong stance on this one and an incredibly weak stance on this other thing.
Oh my god. All right, let's wrap it up. Grant, are you excited for literally anything in next week's episode?
Absolutely not.
Great. All right, well... Folks, that's going to do it for us on another episode of Some of the Guys Talk The Bachelor. If you have a question for us, please tweet it. Please let us know. Please, or if you have a way for us to be freed of this earthly torment, our DMs are open.
Yeah, just we love you all and try to do the bare minimum to be a decent human being. It's really not hard.
Yeah, I really fear that we're moving towards a world in which people are remembered for the actions that they did while they were alive. All right, yeah, folks, that's going to do it for us. I've been Drew Baker. With me has been Grant Pitt. As always, we promise to do better next week. We appreciate you listening. Please follow us on social media. If you have a question for the show, you can email us or tweet us. And we will talk to you soon. Have a great one, everybody.
That's a wrap. I gotta go catch a flight to Cancun. You need no home to me.